You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The 370th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bird Dog Shorts. Dominate summer with an amazing pair of shorts and a free Yeti-style tumbler when you order over at birddogs.com/pool. That's birddogs.com/pool.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 370 is going to go out to one of our friends in the Discord, Dredney, who killed it with his contrarian picks on the weekend and made lots of money in the process. So this goes out to him. I think I sent some out to him before, but hey, we're 370 episodes in. I'm going to duplicate and repeat myself once in a while. Thanks for coming to the show. I will be Jeff Chalks Fox, one of your fearless hosts. This is one of our Monday episodes, which means we're not going to talk UFC. No, we're going to talk a regional promotion, which my co-host is an expert in. It would be Cage Warriors. Hopefully he's an expert in Cage Warriors. We'll find out in a second. We have covered it before, and his stats on regional events are pretty good. Regional being non-UFC. So even big promotions we call regional. So we're going to talk about, like I said, some Cage Warriors this week. Let's bring in the brains behind all of this, the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, so I think we've only done Cage Warriors twice this year, which is kind of a bummer. We should do Cage Warriors more often. But I
let you pick usually, so come on.
Yeah. So it looks like I'm only 4-4 because it looks like there's some canceled fights in there. Two of my wins were underdogs, and I would be just a smidge under even so far on the year on them. So definitely not my best at the moment.
But things are going to get better, right?
And I like this fight card, not necessarily because it's got a lot of like UFC level talent, but because it's got like interesting enough matchups, which is like, hey, we covered PFL last week. If you want to talk about
that, you want to recap that?
Yeah, I mean, I went 4-1, and I think if you add up all my picks, I lost $13 on $100 bets on each one, because that's how chalky the fit. I mean, dude, we broke down a fight where I was like, I don't know, he should be like a -900 favorite. -1600. And it was like, dude, I don't know what they were doing with their matchmaking, which is obviously a whole nother podcast. We could talk about their matchmaking and what they've chosen to do with their playoffs and whatnot. It's not good. But maybe we take a break from talking about PFL and instead we get to a much more interesting card here, which is Cage Warriors 156.
Cage Warriors 156 going down this weekend in Cardiff. We'll break that down in 1 second. I got to tell you about our friends at Bird Dogs before we dive into things here, because Bird Dogs will make you look good no matter what you're doing. Bird Dogs make you look good. That's what they say. And that's what I just said on my own. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dogs shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit way better than regular shorts as well, because regular shorts are made of stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. Hopefully all of these Cage Warrior fighters are rocking some Bird Dogs. If you're not rocking Bird Dogs, here's what you got to do. You got to go to Bird Dogs, BIRDDOGS. .com/pool, POOL, and enter promo code POOL, pool, for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/pool for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you. All right. Cage Warriors 156, Bonner versus Stewart goes down on Canada Day. Everyone knows when Canada Day is, this Saturday, July the 1st, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time is the start time. It is on UFC Fight Pass, which is always convenient. And it is going down, like I said, in Cardiff, Wales, from the Vale Sports Arena. Ever been to the Vale Sports Arena, Dan?
I have not. No.
No. Okay. Just thought I'd put that out there just in case. We got a 9-fight card. Gumby's picked the 5 that he's most interested in. And we're going to break down those. We do not have any odds, correct?
We do not. But some people prefer that.
Yep. People tend to like this. Gumby makes people money by guessing the odd. And then when the real odds come out, if they see a big discrepancy, they jump on it and make money because we have smart people listening to our show.
Yeah, I think
yes. Yes, for sure. All right, we're going to start with a bantamweight fight. 135 pounds, second from the bottom, Reese McEwen versus Leonardo de Oliveira or Oliveira. I'll tell you about de Oliveira first. Balin, so B-A-L, and then the Ina thing. Do you know what that means?
Balina? Balina. It would be, yeah, I don't know. I got no idea.
Candy is what it translates as candy.
Candy, so right on.
Little candy or something?
Little candy.
Okay. all right. He is 8-5, 1 knockout, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. This is his debut in Cage Warriors. He's lost 2 straight fights and only won 2 of his last 5. He's not won a fight since September 2019. He has not fought since April 2022. He fought once in World Series of Fighting, I think some kind of European series, and won there. He used to fight down at flyweight. In 2011 was his pro MMA debut. McEwen, 6-1, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once. 3-0 in Cage Warriors. That's part of a 3-fight winning streak. 2 of those wins have come via submission. 4 years younger than De Oliveira, 3 inches taller. Why'd you pick this fight, first of all?
So I picked this fight because if you go down the fight card outside of like some of the ones up top, there's a lot of like 1-2 versus 0-0. There's a women's featherweight fight that's 0-0 versus 0-1. We got a 3-1 or a 3-3 versus a 3-4. So like this one had the most respectable record, 6-1, Reese McEwen, 8-5, Leonardo de Oliveira. But at the same time, so this is going to be a fight where McEwen is going to be like probably negative 300. I'm picking McEwen in this one too. I think so part of the problem with McEwen, in my opinion, if you're looking for a reason to discount him as a prospect, as a guy who might get signed one day, is I think he's way too comfortable on his back. I think when he gets taken down, he's a little bit too happy to just be on the ground doing jiu-jitsu. And it could cost him, especially against better grapplers. The difference is I just don't think Oliveira is that guy. He's a guy who throws like big clubbing hooks. The takedown attempts I've seen from him are not bad, but they're so infrequent, and he kind of just like pulls them out when it seems like he's tired of throwing clubbing hooks. And McEwen, you know, has a really nice double leg. He shoots, he pushes through, he finishes with a good angle. If he does get stopped on the first attempt, he does refix it, goes to the single, back to the double. He's particularly good against the cage. And actually, I think he could use to strike more because he does like to get to the grappling early. And like I said, if he gets taken down, he's happy to be on the ground. But when he's standing, like, he's kind of got surprising power with his hooks. I've seen him knock a guy out with a kick. I really wish he struck more, but the biggest thing he needs to do is work on getting back up when he gets taken down. But that shouldn't be a problem here against Oliveira. So I'm going to take McEwen. I'm going to say negative 300, anywhere in that range or in the negative 200s, for sure. Parlay material, you get towards, I guess even anywhere in the negative 200s, just straight up play him. But like early 300s, you could just throw him in a parlay.
Throw him in a parlay. So around minus 300 is what you're expecting around there?
Yeah, that's what I would expect.
Okay. All right, cool. We are moving on to, we're going up a few fights, to 205 pounds. That would be light heavyweight. Andy Clamp versus Hassan
Abdenabi. Yeah, Abdenabi.
Hassan. It's got a G at the front, but I'm assuming the G is silent. Hassan Abdenabi, correct?
Correct. I believe so.
All right. All right. Abdenabi is 4-0, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's finished his last 2 wins. However, he's not fought since December of 2019. He is a regional champion. Clamp, the Vice, is a nickname. I get it. Good nickname. He's 11-2, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-1 in Cage Warriors. He's won 3 of his last 4, and over his last 7, he's gone 5-1 with 1 no contest. He won his last fight via TKO. Sorry, excuse me. Lost his last fight via TKO. He also is a pro grappler. Now, Gumby will give you more info.
So Abdinabi is, for those who don't know, it was a kickboxer for a decent part of his career, which is why we only see him with four pro fights and getting a fight like against Clamp. I think he's going to come in here against the favorite or as the favorite, because I think, you know, he's exciting on the feet. I'm going to say he'll probably hover right around -175. You probably get Clamp on the return at +150. I'm going to say Abdinabi winds up the favorite because people do like his kickboxing. But I will say, in the fights that I've seen from him in the MMA sphere, and first of all, kickboxing looks much better, obviously, not surprising. But when he's fighting MMA, he seems really worried about being taken down, to the point where, like, his posture is all fucked up. He, like, crouches like he's already trying to get under hooks on a takedown that hasn't happened yet. And as a result, his striking looks worse. In the clinch, he definitely muscles everything he's trying to do quite a bit, because he is a big, tough, strong guy, especially for that weight class. You know, I think I said he was 6'4", but he, like, muscles things a little bit too much. When he does get people down, he's got skills on the mat. Like, he's got a nice arm triangle. He's got some nice top control. But, like, in order to get people down, he kind of has to, like, go hard with the muscles. Now, Clamp, on the other hand, he's definitely much slower on the feet. There's no doubt about that. Occasionally, I've seen him shoot his takedowns from too far away, which obviously gives me a little bit of pause. But when he does get in on a takedown, it is quite good. I'm actually really impressed with Clamp's grappling. If you go back and, you know, you said he's coming off of having lost a fight by, you know, first round knockout. He lost to Chuck Campbell. And Chuck Campbell, by the way, was recently fighting for the Cage Warriors Championship at light heavyweight, which is, I mean, he wound up losing to Modestus Bukauskas in the fourth round. So, like, you know, no shame there. And he also fought in Bellator and lost a split decision to Tyree Fortune. So, like, Chuck Campbell's a legit dude. Clamp took him down a couple of times. And for me, that tells me, like, look, hey, if he can get Chuck Campbell down a bunch of times, I really think he can get Abdinabi down anytime he wants to. I think he should take him down fairly regularly. And so, like, I'm going to actually go dog here. I like Andrew Clamp.
All right. What was the number again we're getting on him approximately?
I think probably +150, but I'll be honest. Bet him all the way down to even. If it gets down to a pick 'em, I think I'd still pick Clamp. I'd probably be a little hesitant if he starts to leak into being like a -140, -150 favorite. It's a little bit too tight of a fight there. And, you know, with Abdinabi being so big and strong, like, it might cause me to pause if Clamp winds up being the favorite, but, like, anywhere at dog money or pick 'em money, definitely Clamp.
All right. What are we going to move on to now? Let me get back to my screen here. I got to stop multitasking here, Dan. We're going up a fight to down a weight class, up a fight on the fight card to lightweights. Ewan Davies, versus El Haji Najee. I assume it's Ewan, I-E-U-A-N.
I think it's E-U-N.
E-U-N, of course. Versus El Haji Njie. Njie is how you say it, right? Right.
Sure.
You believe? You're not agreeing with me?
Njie. Yeah, I think you're right.
Njie. Game D is the nickname, which is, I think it's a soccer player, maybe, that he's named after or something like that. I Googled it, but I forgot already. He is 4-2. Njie with one knockout. He's been knocked out himself once. 0-2 in Cage Warriors. That's part of a 2-fight losing streak for him. He's not won a fight since November of 2019. Davies, 3-0, a knockout, 2 submissions. So he's finished every fight. 1-0 in Cage Warriors, 2 in Charlin, Njie. So both these guys, not much experience, but Gumby knows a bunch about him, I'm sure.
Davies should be a massive favorite here. And if he's not, like, bet the hell out of him. Like, if you can get him under -300. How massive? I'm going to say he's probably -375. Okay. And if you can get him anywhere near -300, just, like, you know, light up the books, because he's so much better than Njie. He fights really long, and he's very strong, but he fights really long, both in that he uses his jab and his strike really well. But he also uses this, like, he's got, like, a jumping front kick that he throws to people's chest. That backs them up too. And then when they rush back in, he actually has a really nice takedown, and he's super punishing on top. He takes a back really quickly. There's a real lot to like about Davies. I haven't really seen a weakness in him yet. Maybe it exists in there. But even like as a tall guy, he doesn't do like the tall guy defense things, like the lean away and stuff like that. And then NGI, like in the fights I've seen, he just throws his punches from his shoulders. So they don't look like they have much on him, and they're not good defensively. He's crazy hittable. If you get him anywhere near close to being in a clinch, he like spazzes out and looks like he's freaking out. Like Davies should win this without even trying for the most part. So again, probably negative 375, but like there's value in Davies on your parlays.
All right, there you go. There's also value in using Underdog Fantasy because we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. That's not the only reason there's value there, but that's one of the reasons. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and college baseball player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and they're active in so many states. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moving right along, co-main event time, bantamweights, Rory Evans versus Jack Eglin, 3 5-minute rounds. All these are 3 5-minute rounds that we're covering today. Eglin, 3-2, 2 knockouts, 1 submission, and he's been knocked out once and submitted once, so he's never gone the distance. 1-2 in cage wars, that's part of a 1-2 streak that he's currently on. He did win his last fight via TKO. He's inch taller than Evans. His age, unknown. Ooh, mysterious. Evans, 5-4, 1 knockout, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. So he's been finishing all of his losses. 3-1 in Cage Warriors. He's won 4 of his last 5, but he did lose his last fight via TKO. Used to fight up at featherweight, and he is a pro grappler. That's all I got.
So I'm going to say this fight's a pick'em. Let's put it this way, actually. It's an insanely easy fight to break down. It's an insanely hard fight to call. Because I know exactly both of their paths to victory. They're both pretty clear, and it's just going to be like which of these two scenarios happens. So first of all, you know, like Evans is a guy who looks like he has trouble committing on his strikes. Sometimes it looks like he gets about halfway through a strike and he's like, maybe I shouldn't have done that, and sort of pulls his punches. But he's got really good pressure. If he can get you up against the cage, he's got good takedowns up against the cage. He's got solid top game. And he's like light enough on his feet so that even when he's doing that goofy shit on his in his striking, he doesn't get lit up all the way. Now, Eglin, on the other hand, very different. Insanely fast on the feet. He's got a really nice 1-2 that sometimes he throws an uppercut at the end of to just like really mess up anybody who's ducking underneath. He's really good up against the cage too. Surprisingly good for a guy who you think might want to strike 98% of the time. Although he does grapple, maybe not 98% of the time. That might be stretching it a little bit. But look, Eglin is also very exciting. Here's the big thing that only makes me not want to pick Eglin, and that's his gas tank was an issue in some of his losses. So, like, literally, if Evans can put him up against the cage regularly and tire him out and stay away from the big shots, Evans is going to gain momentum late in the fight, maybe get a stoppage late in the fight. If he can't do that enough early on, Eglin is going to light him up on the feet. Eglin is going to look way better. Eglin might even get some top control time and bank a couple of rounds or finish him, because he does have some power here too. So that's the very clear way that this fight can go, one of those two ways. And I'm going to take Jack Eglin just because the finishing power is there. He's finished 2 fights in the first round. And if you want to go back to his amateur, or 3 fights in the first round, you want to go back to his amateur fight, he's got another one in there. I think he looks good enough that I can like give him the leeway here. And he's also got a lot more experience. I know the records don't look like either of them have experience, but he fought like 14 or 15 times as an amateur. So I actually think Eglin's experience there might carry. He trains at the lab. I'm hoping his cardio is a little better. So I'm going to say pick him. Give me Eglin. Maybe not the easiest fight to bet on, but definitely the most, it'll probably be one of the most fun to watch.
All right. So Eglin's a pick. And what number did you say we're going to get?
I said pick him. So what? Negative 110.
110 it is. Gumby. All right. Main event time. And it is at middleweights. Matthew Bonner, not the former basketball player, versus Darren Stewart. 3 5-minute rounds. Darren the Dentist Stewart, you may have heard of him. He's 14-9, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 6-2 in Cage Warriors. He's won 2 straight fights. Before that, he lost 4 straight with a no contest thrown in there as well. He went 5-7 with 2 no contests in the UFC. Was a regional champion. Used to fight up at light heavyweight. Matthew, the Beats Bonner. 14-8-1, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 10-5 in Cage Warriors. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 of 5. All of his wins over that 5-fight stretch have been via finish. Used to be the champion in Cage Warriors at this weight class, middleweight. He also used to fight at 170. He's 2 inches taller than Stewart. Don't have any reach info for him, and that's all I got.
So I'm going to say Bonner's going to be the slight favorite here, probably negative 140. We'll get plus 120, 125 on the return for Stewart. And I actually am going to side with Darren Stewart here. And you know, I've kind of been a Darren Stewart hater in the past, especially when he was still in the UFC. But my big problem here with Bonner is just that, like, he's really slow. And he's slow on his feet. Every time he throws a jab, he kind of leans forward and his chin comes up a little bit. He moves forward but has a bad sense of range when he does so. So sometimes he's, like, way too close to throw the punches he's throwing. Sometimes he's way too far away. He does do a good job, and this is definitely his path to victory here and why he's going to be a favorite. He does do a decent job of ducking under big, sloppy shots and getting, like, a body lock takedown or a double or something like that. But I think Darren Stewart has showed me, and this is why I like Darren Stewart as a slight dog here, I think he's shown me that he's decent enough at wrestling, right? Because, like, I think out the gate we all said, oh, you know, Darren Stewart, you know, kind of sucks at wrestling, and you know, like, that was his big weakness. He's the dentist, he wants to punch your teeth in. But, like, he's looked good so far in Cage Warriors. Also, like, he scored a couple of takedowns on Dustin Jacoby or Eric Anders, and, like, I mean, he took down Kevin Holland a bunch of times. Like, I think his wrestling maybe gets overlooked a little bit, and especially the defensive way. I think he hits harder. I think he's going to be faster on the feet. I think there's a chance he sleeps Bonner. All of those are enough to make me say, yeah, if he comes in at dog money here, yeah, give me Darren Stewart.
What are you talking? Plus 100, better than that? What are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, if he comes in at any plus number, I think he's probably going to come in plus 125. But if he comes in at any plus number, I'm cool with Darren Stewart here.
All right, there you go. 5 out of the 9 fights broken down for you. Only the way Gumby could do it. Who else is doing a Cage Warriors preview episode? Maybe, I guess, actually, Severe MMA probably is. But we're giving you gambling advice, too. So let's recap. Darren Stewart, he's got it, hopefully, as a nice underdog. Eglin, hopefully, as a slight underdog, or at least a pick'em fight. Davies, probably as a pretty big favorite. Clamp, as hopefully, as an underdog. And McEwen, as a pretty big favorite, right?
That sounds right to me.
That sounds right to all the listeners as well. So if you want to talk Cage Warriors or anything else with us, we are in the Discord, sportsgumbypodcast.com/discord. We're also on Twitter. Gumby runs our official account at SGPNMMA. He also can be found at Gumby Vreeland, and I can be found at Jeff Fox Writer. You can find all my MMA writing and my free pick'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. You can find more of Gumby in your ear holes at Top Turtle MMA Podcast. I'm not on that show, but it's still worth a listen. I've never missed an episode myself. And all good things in the sports gambling world, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We're coming back to you on Wednesday to talk UFC, an amazing fight card. Actually, Gumby likes it. He told you last episode why. We'll be back on Wednesday. But until then, Gumby's going to bid you farewell.
Well, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Little Candy Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.